Let's pray. Father, we ask and receive this morning wisdom and insight into your word. Thank you for the revelation that the teaching of your word brings. We ask for clarity in explanation, clarity in understanding. Let there be no errors at all in the way we receive the word this morning. Let's behold Christ as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're looking at the law and the prophets and focusing on the spirit of the prophets. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25. And he said unto them, you know the story, he met his own disciples just after he had been raised from the dead, or risen from the dead. And they had an argument with him over what had just happened. So verse 25 says, and he said unto them, both fools and slow of heart, remember the word brados, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, we've been on that for some time. The word believe, which is faith. So he's saying, believe that all that the prophets have spoken. Of course, we said the word believe all is not believe everything, is believe all this that the prophets have spoken. Now, why did we have to say that? Why do we have to say all this? It's because not everything the prophets uttered was faith. Because to believe will mean that the message is a message of faith. For example, we're going to see soon, you don't believe in the law. You do the law. You understand that? Okay. A scripture we quote oftentimes, you know, but the application of meditation is fine, but if you really know what it means, you stay off it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You know, thou shalt meditate day and night and observe to do all. You sure can do all. You know, we can't do that today. Observe to all that's written there, and then you will make your way prosperous and you have good success. You sure cannot do that. Scripture doesn't apply to you as a believer because we are not under the law to do the law. Okay, but I guess the meditation part just makes sense for us to meditate. You know, that's cool, but you can't do all that's written therein because there are over 613 laws. How can you meditate upon that? You can't. So, you know, so that the law doesn't have faith in it. The law has performance. So, he says to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, we want to, because the essence of this study is to be able to take the Old Testament books without fear, without concern. You wonder why sometimes do those things contradict themselves? The easy way out is, we're no longer under the law. We're under grace. It doesn't apply. And then you say, why does it not apply? And you see a couple of people, they will leave some statements from the Old Testament. Then when it comes to the law, they say, we're under the law. But you like to hold on to certain things in there. And then you say, well, this is not for me, but this one is for me. How do you know? You know, I recall I had to mention this, probably how I'll do that now. You know, for example, on the subject of long life. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I want to show you something. Turn there quickly. I just forgot a piece of paper I wrote. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, Psalm 91, for example, because I remember I'd finished, my notes. It was last night that I remember I want to talk about this. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91 says, You know, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You know the verse, you probably read it all your life. This was a punishment scripture from when I was young, so kind of know it. Because my mom made sure I knew it. I think I even know the Yoruba version. So, now he says in verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, people have asked, this is a promise of long life in the Bible, but I'm wondering, there was a time that Moses said something like, just the previous chapter, chapter 90, this is supposed to be of Moses, and Moses was very specific. In verse 9, he says, so all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale, Psalm 90, verse 9. The days of our years are 70 years, need by the reason of strength, they are 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon caught up and we fly away. Now, this is not a promise of life or days. This is actually supposed to be like a judgment, showing how that, you know, Moses had discovered over time that people didn't live up to this amount of years. That's what he's trying to say. It's not saying, I promise you 70 years or 80 years. Nothing like that. We're going to see that there was no time in the Bible any length of years was promised to anybody. In fact, if you read any person at all, it will be Hezekiah, who was told, I'll have 15 years of your life by the prophet. No other person. There's anyone, I don't know. But here, Psalm 91, a couple of times, well, is this a promise of long life? No. It can be. In the same way, in Genesis 6, it says, my spirit shall no longer strive with man, verse 3, for he is flesh. But his days shall be 120 years. And I told you that Noah lived beyond 120 years. Same as kids. If by many people in the earth, they live more than 120 years. So what do you mean 120 years? 120 years to plead with man, which is what is called the long suffering of God. That means it took 120 years before the ark was, you enter the ark. Do you understand that? You get that? God has never determined the length of days of anybody. He has never determined length of days. Of anybody. Now this Psalm 91, what could it mean? He said, with long life will I satisfy you. I kind of ask, how long can long be? We have scriptures, you have people like Methuselah. How many years, Methuselah? 969, right? 969, I think. Then Adam, the one who ate the fruit and the tree and everything, is 930 years, I think. So, if assuming God now wants to give long life, I guess you look at 2000. You know, so, it really does make sense. But look at it, with long life will I satisfy you. Notice it says, I show you my salvation. That should have helped us understand. Now the word long life, or the word long, is Hebrew word orek. O-R-E-K. Orek. Now, the wisest thing to do, orek is used several times in the Bible, but then the wisest thing to do, Psalm 91 verse 16, is look at how orek was used in the book of Psalms. So, when you see orek in the book of Psalms, then it can help you understand what long means. Look at Psalm 21 verse 5. Are you there? You learning something? Psalm 21 verse 5. Psalm 21 verse 5. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty thou hast laid, or thou laid upon him. Great. That's the word great. Now, this is talking about God. In fact, in verse 4, he asks life of thee, and thou gave it to him, even length of days, forever and ever. Forever and ever. Orech 23, David Psalm, verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for Orech. Orech. Psalm 23. Psalm 93, verse 5. Psalm 93, verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becomes thine house, O Lord, for Orech. So it's forever. So let's use it. Psalm is consistent now. It's the word forever. So let's come to Psalm 91, verse 16. With forever life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Now, what could that mean to you today? That's not like 100, 200 years. That's eternal life in Christ. Because when you talk about salvation, salvation is eternal life in Christ. And so, you couldn't have been talking about 120 years. Now, can we believe up to 150 years? Yeah, people want 180 years. Even those who are not believers do live up to that number of years. But Orech means ever. It has an undefined length of time. So sometimes we just pick those scriptures and then we don't know what it means. And oftentimes, you see, the reason why I try to go explain these things like this was because now if things don't happen the way you think the scripture says, they begin to say maybe God somewhere just changed the rules. But no, you were the one that misunderstood what he was saying. Are you following what I'm saying? You just didn't get him right. Look at Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Do you know what? It was so funny for myself as I used to be a fellowship coordinator of a denomination in Nigeria, assistant actually. And they used to give me the responsibility of collecting the offerings. And I used to quote this verse. And I quoted it wrongly for a long time. I never bothered to check a very vital word there, Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Every time you teach people that when you give, God doesn't give back. Take a look at this verse. That you don't give to receive from God. Luke 6:38. Give it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Praise God. You know, just read the previous verse. Verse 37. Can we take verse 37? Judge not. Come on. Judge not. And you shall not be judged. Condemn not. And you shall not be condemned. Forgive. You shall be forgiven. Give. And it shall be given unto you. There's nothing about money here. Huh? Come on, I'm asking a question. Anything about money here? Nothing like that. Nothing about money. He's talking about judgment, forgiveness, mercy. And you see, you know, this was the Sermon on the Mount. How do you know? Verse 20. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are the pure, for yours is the kingdom of God. So now, where can you find this same statement? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Put your hands in Luke 6 and Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm going to run quickly now because it's not my sermon at all. And I'm wasting time on this. Matthew 7:1. Let's take it together. Matthew 7:1. Let's go. Judge not that you not be judged. Verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. Is that the same thing we just read in Luke 6? Huh? Same thing. In fact, same thing. Look at Luke 6 again, 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, give what? He's not saying, give money. He's saying, look, there's a law. If you give, it will be given back to you. If you judge, you'll be judged. If you condemn, you'll be condemned. If you forgive, you'll be forgiven. Jesus is not telling you the character of God. He's telling you about the law. That's not the character of God. He's talking about the law. He, watch this now. He says, now, something I never saw. I never saw it for years. Let's read verse 38 again, one more time. Give. I thought the AC is off. Still feeling cold? Come on, get up from that. Let's go, one more time. Give, you shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and run over, shall, I never saw that for years. Shall men give unto your bosom, for with the measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you. He's forgiveness and mercy. And he's not teaching the law of the spirit of life in Christ. He's not teaching the new covenant. He's just telling you the old covenant. You know, how do you know that? No difficult. Just back up a bit. Just go a little bit back in verse 28. Verse 28. That's in verse 28, no? Verse 28, yep. He says in verse 28, bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That's not the law now. That is the new covenant, which hadn't been enforced. So he goes on and go on. Give to every man the axe of thee, and whoever takes away thy goods, ask them not again. 30. So he taught two different things. Are you listening? Are you listening now? Verse 30. He then smites you in one hand, on one cheek, turn the other one. Then he says in 31, as you will that men do to you, so you do them likewise. If you love them which love you, what thank of you? For the sinners also love those that love them. That's the law. Sinners love those that love them. Forgive, you shall be forgiven. Are you following this? You following this now? Alright, come on. He says in verse 33, if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank of you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them that hope to receive, what thank of you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. That's the law of sin and death. But you love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And be ye merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So Jesus taught two different things. Can you see it now? Can you see it now? He taught the character of God, then he taught the law of sin and death. So, that's why most places where they teach this Luke 6:38, they teach the law. The law, that's what they're teaching there. Oh, give it shall be given unto you. If it doesn't come out from you, God cannot give back to you. That's not God. God doesn't function like that. That's the law of sin and death. Let me see how you follow that. Was that very clear to you? So, it's always good to set things in perspective. Alright? See, Jesus, why did Jesus say those things? Because he was born under the law. He ministered under the law. And he understood the law. He was a teacher of the law. You get disappointed. Hallelujah. So really, you got to get the right perspective. So say, well, I've been giving, but then I don't have much money in my pocket. But the Bible says, give, he shall be given unto you. You should have got the scripture wrong. He says, give, expecting nothing back. Hallelujah. When you give to expect back, you are functioning under the law of sin and death. That's selfishness. That's not agape. Hallelujah. Let me take one more time. When you give to expect something back, that's not the love of God. That's not agape. When agape gives to meet the needs of someone, not to meet your own need. God didn't give us a son. Someone said, well, God was lonely. He needed a family. So he gave so that he can have a family. You better shut your mouth. God's gifts are for us. Hallelujah. And that's how we give today. Amen. Are you following this? So you need to realize, you know, and I've been making this clear to you in this service, second service, no, midweek services, how we can unconsciously function under the Old Testament laws. You don't give so that you get back. You don't function with God like that. You have a relationship with God. It's a family relationship. Praise God. And that's the way God gives to all men, liberally. And it doesn't operate not. Someone asked me a question a couple of days back. And I said, God listened to the myth, or say the mystery of unanswered prayers. Can unbelievers get answers to their prayers? I said, listen to this. I said, getting answers to prayers is not an exclusive privilege of believers. I said, yeah. Those are the kind of things we've attached to Christianity. No. God, he says he makes his sun, right, to shine on everybody. And he makes his rain to fall on everybody. At least that happened this morning already. Amen. Are you still there? Look at John 1. I'm through with that one. Because I wanted to quickly run over that. That was not my teaching at all. I can't build a sermon, and that's just a, you know, what you call an appetizer. Let's go to the teaching of the John 1. So, we must be able to know, you know, we said that the law, the prophets, to believe all the prophets will say, we mean that what the prophet will say will be a message of faith. Because the law is not of faith. You don't believe the law, you obey the law. How many of you have ever believed in the law of using your seatbelt when you're driving? Say, well, act on it if you believe in it. No, you got to do it, because when they see you without it, you say, well, why didn't you put your seat? I don't believe it's of any use. So, okay, come on, you pay your fine and believe later. Because it's a law. But faith is where you are convinced of something. Glory to his name. Faith is birth. Watch this. John 1, 17. For the law was given by Moses. That's quite strange. The law was given by Moses. And he says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law, nomos in the Greek, was given by Moses. Look at that word. Now, pay attention, because I know people say, well, don't talk about Moses. Don't talk about Moses. Don't read Moses. That's Moses. Yeah, really? Sometimes some people make some statements too loud. I was talking to a dear preacher a couple of days back. I said, you should always be patient before you harass people with knowledge. I teach the Bible a bit, but I know that to really follow what I teach, you've got to follow it very well and be very patient. See that? You know, Moses, the guy is just Moses. He said, what's wrong with Moses? Now, look at this. Moses gave the law. The word he uses here is didomi. 416 times. Didomi is never used for imposing the law. Moses never imposed the law. He gave. Now, that lets us think. The word didomi said 416 times. It means to offer it. Moses offered the law. That presupposes that when you use didomi, it presupposes that there was a choice. And Jesus taught that, you know, Jesus said that which law was in existence when the priests were taking the shewbread, David took the shewbread that belonged to the priest. Jesus is saying the law was offered. Didomi. Moses offered the law. So there was a choice. There was what? A choice. The law came by Moses. Alright? Watch this. John 1. The law was, sorry, was given, not came, was given, was offered, made available by Moses. Now he says, grace and truth. So don't think that Moses just imposed it on anybody. No, he didn't impose it on anybody. He offered the law. So he says, grace and truth. And you see, this will explain the ministries under the Old Testament. Grace and truth. Now, grace and truth are not two things. You know, grace, kai, truth. That's charis kai aletheia. Charis kai aletheia. A typical Greek person will know they are talking about the same thing. Charis is given freely. Given freely. Charis. Now, why do you say grace and truth? Grace and truth. Grace, which is the truth. Now, was given by Jesus. Or came by Jesus. Grace, that is the truth. That is charis kai aletheia. Okay? Verse 9, quickly. What is it? Truth. Truth. He used the word truth in verse 9. Let's read verse 9 together. That was what? The true light. So, every time you use the word true, aletheia, it's to show a distinction between a figure of speech and the reality. I've explained that to you several times. Remember that? True riches. Can you remember that? True light. Can you remember that? True riches. True light. So, true, grace and truth came by Jesus. Okay? Now look at that word came. The law was given. Now, he doesn't say grace was given by Jesus. If he says grace was given by Jesus, that will also mean that there was another alternative. So, no, but he uses ginomai. Ginomai means to exist. To be born, to become. So, grace, which is truth, exists or became by Jesus. So, what grace and truth came by Jesus? Grace and truth. Grace and truth by Jesus. Or grace. Let's look at this. Grace, which is the truth, came or exists by Jesus. Why did he say that? Who is Jesus? The next question. John 1. In the beginning, come on, talk to John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. I remember having to encounter some Jehovah's Witness. And they say, well, they say the Word is the God. And I said, no. Go and ask your forefathers. They should know Greek more than that. You don't start by saying it was the Word. Was with God. It was the Word. The Word was with God. Then you say, and the Word was God. Because the word with, and then the guy kept quiet, said, this must be, the word with is the word pros. So you can say pros, theos, then you say the word logos is a theos. That's a contradictory statement. Guy said, I don't think they ever told him in his denomination. He said, it can be. So pros means looking up to, okay? The word was with. Now the word pros is used for proximity, preposition, in view of. That is, we saw God as the Word. That's pros, proximity. something that has a relationship, pros, P-R-O-S, with. So, the word was with God shows proximity. You can't use pros, theos, then you now say, and then the word is a God. That's quite nonsense. I think I've explained this to you before. All right? Huh? Am I correct? That's false identification, right? Huh? In Christ? And what? Okay. So the word is God. Let's have the word. The word is God. That is God. We have a man like God. A man like God. Remember that? A man like God, not a God like man. So it shows it wasn't God, man who became God. It was God who became man. So verse 1 is to establish the pre-existence of Word, because the Word is a man. So it says the Word was with God, pros God. That is relationship. So the Word is God. Does that make sense? Huh? Does that make sense? Come on, talk to him. Does that make sense? The Word is God. So if we say grace, which is the truth, exists as Jesus Christ, or by Jesus Christ, that means grace is the character of God. That means grace is the character of the Word. Right? So if grace is the character of the Word, that means grace is the character of God. So it's not like grace is an afterthought of the law. Grace is the character of God. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? So, grace that is truth is in Christ. So, does that make sense? Come on. Does that make sense? Grace is the truth. Grace is the truth of our God. Grace, that is charis, you know, we have nomos. Then we have charis. Nomos is a law. Charis is a gift. A law you do, a gift you receive. Amen? So he's saying the character of the Word is the character of God. The character of the Word is grace. So the character of God is what? Grace, because in the beginning was the Word pros theos, the Word is God, is with God, or was with God, and the Word is, was God. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, grace is not an afterthought. Grace is the character of God. So we can say, in the beginning was grace. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Is that clear? In the beginning was grace. Okay, so that said, follow this. Moses, so if Jesus is saying in Luke's Gospel 24 that he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, that means Moses must, and he said, he also, you know, he never skipped Moses. He never skipped the Old Testament. So if in the beginning was the Word, and then the character of God is grace, that means grace is under the Old Testament. That means grace is also found in the books of Moses. Because we just studied and we said, Moses offered what? The law. Yeah, but that means there was a choice. So, to offer a law, Moses didn't impose the law. If he offered the law, that means there was a choice not to stay with the law. Die to me. There was a choice. So, watch this. Go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4. In verse 2. For unto us. Are you there? Can we go? Let's take it together. Let's go. For unto us. Everybody one more time. Let's go. For unto us. One more time. I said everybody. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not be mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, where is he talking about here? He's talking about the children of Israel when they left where? When they left Egypt. He's saying the gospel was preached unto them. You know, you would have thought that everything that was given to them was the law. But we just read it now. That the gospel was preached unto them. As well as unto us. You know, he's talking about the Old Testament. He's not talking about Joshua's time. He's talking about Moses. The gospel was preached. Now, look at the word the gospel was preached. Or preached the gospel. Here's the word euangelizo. I'll spell it for you. E-U-A-G-E-L-L-I-Z-O. E-U-A-G-E-L-L-I-Z-O. Used 54 times. How many times is it? How many times? 54 times. Listen to this. This is very right. In the four Gospels, look at the first mention. Matthew's Gospel 11:5. Matthew's Gospel 11:5. Jesus said, go tell John, the gospel is preached unto the poor. The poor, Matthew's gospel 11:5. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. When Jesus sent his folks out to preach, he said, preach them, believe the kingdom of God is here. Freely you have received, freely should you what? So the same word you watch Jesus. The book of Acts. Look at the book of Acts. It's a very common word in the book of Acts. Preach the gospel. You'll find it 15 times in the book of Acts. Acts 5:42. We'll run through it. Preach the gospel. Same word. Acts 5:42. And they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. To teach and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Who are the Jews? Preach the good news. Preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Acts 8:4. Philip went down to Samaria. Okay? Acts 8:4. And they were scattered abroad, went about everywhere, preaching the word. Acts 8:4. Preaching the word. Acts 8:12. And they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom. Preaching the things. Acts 8:12. Acts 8:35. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Acts 8:35. Acts 8:40. And Philip was found at Azotus and passing through, he preached in all the cities. That word preach is euangelizo. To give good news. To announce good news. Acts 10:36. Peter speaking about Jesus. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Acts 10:36. Acts 11:20. Spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Acts 11:20. Acts 13:32. Acts 13:32. And we declare unto you glad tidings. Glad tidings. We preach unto you glad tidings. Acts 13:32. Acts 14:7. And there they preached the gospel. Acts 14:7. Acts 14:15. And preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto living God. Acts 14:7. That's another 15. Acts 15:35. Barnabas. And Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. Acts 15:35. Acts 16:10. Assuredly, gathering that the Lord has called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Acts 16:10. Acts 17:18. Acts 17:18. It seems strange to be a better set for strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Acts 17:18. So, used several times in the book of Acts for the gospel. Shuwajalizo. Paul equally used it 21 times. Quickly see this. Romans 1:15. For as much as I'm ready to preach the gospel. Romans 1:15. Romans 10:15. Romans 10:15. How shall they preach except they be sent? Romans 10:15. Romans 15:20. Romans 15:20. Yea, I've tried to preach the gospel. Romans 15:20. 1 Corinthians 1:7. 1 Corinthians 1:7. Sorry, 17. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. 2 times. Though I preach the gospel. Then verse 18. When I preach the gospel. Verse 18. 1 Corinthians 9:18. 1 Corinthians 15:1. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Verse 2. What I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 10:16. 2 Corinthians 10:16. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast another man's line of things made ready to our hand. 2 Corinthians 10:16. 2 Corinthians 11:17. I speak not. 2 Corinthians 11. That which I speak. Sorry, 7, not 17. Because I preach to you the gospel of God freely. 2 Corinthians 11:7. Galatians 1:18. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach another gospel unto you, and that which have been preached unto you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:9. If any man preach any other gospel, and that which you have received, Galatians 1:9. Galatians 1:16. That I might preach him among the heathen. Galatians 1:16. Galatians 1:23. That he which persecutes us in times past now preach the faith that once he destroyed. Galatians 4:13. Galatians 4:13. Even though, in the infirmity of the flesh, I preach the gospel unto you at the first. Galatians 4:13. Ephesians 2:17. Ephesians 2:17. And came and preached peace to you which are far off. Ephesians 2:17. Ephesians 3:8. Ephesians 3:8. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity that you good remember. So brought us good tidings of your faith. To bring good tidings. To preach good tidings. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. We'll come to Hebrews soon. 1 Peter 1:12. Peter now. 1 Peter 1:12. 1 Peter 1:12. unto whom it was revealed, and not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you. 1 Peter 1:12. 1 Peter 1:25. The word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter 4:6 now. 1 Peter 4:6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. So Peter has it three times. Revelation 10:7. Then Revelation 14:6, two times. So go to Hebrews 4. So the word preach, huagelizo, means a message of faith. Is that clear? Is that clear? A message of faith. To preach. That is, then to preach is huagelizo, which is to give good tidings, to give good news. To give what? Now, when there's huagelizo, what is the response? The response ought to be what? Faith. So, go to Hebrews 4:2. For unto us, are you there? Are you back there? Now, when Peter said, preach on them that are dead, he was saying to those who are now dead. Not that they preach to those who were dead, or who are now dead. That they will be judged by those who are alive. That's what he meant. Just said to, as you read that, you just said to not forget to say that. Hebrews 4:2. Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Look at verse 6. Let's say 6 again. Seeing therefore, let's take 6 together. Seeing therefore, it remains that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? So, wait. This is important. If I give you a rule, and you don't meet up to the rule, you are offended. That's an offense. Right? So Moses gave a nomos. When you don't keep it, you sin. Right? But then, when I preach and you don't accept it, it's called unbelief. Hello? Follow what I'm saying? So, Moses gave the law and also preached Christ. Let me see your hand. Come on. If you came in early, you get this. Let me see your hand if you understand that. So, you know, can you just, is it, show you what it is? Let's just write up everything Moses said. That would be what? If you took off everything Moses said, then where did the New Testament come from? Where is God? So, can we say now that Moses offered the law as a choice and gave the gospel for men to believe? Is that right? Go back to Hebrews 4:2. Are you learning something here? Learning something here? Okay. Hebrews 4:2. Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. Let's read it now. Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the what? Preached as well as unto them. So, the gospel was preached by Moses. Did Moses preach salvation? Hey, talk to me, guys. Did Moses preach salvation? Did Moses preach Jesus? Was everything about Moses the law? No. So, Moses preached the gospel. Moses preached Christ. So, he says, But the word what? Preached. Preached. Did not profit them. Notice the word. The word is the word logon, which is message. Now the difference will be that the message was preached, but there's no revelation. Revelation is apocalypse, where you have a full disclosure of all the facts. Now, I'm not saying that Moses had a full disclosure of all the facts. But let me ask you, how many of you here, when you got saved, got the full disclosure of all the facts? You listened to Living Word Media before you got saved. If I, you probably wouldn't even have browsed with that kind of, what kind of this big media? What's all this stuff? You just heard about Jesus. And then you faith, you believe. So the word preached, not revelation. What they lacked was revelation, not that they did not preach Christ. Go to Ephesians 3. Paul mentioned revelation, apocalypsis. Revelation is for believers. Come on, am I making sense here? We know, for example, that Peter and all them, they preach the gospel, but not with revelation. You don't say, well, are we sure that people got saved under Peter?
Say that.
Well, I doubt whether people in that church are born again. Say why? Because they preach the law there. See your mouth. You put something else in your mouth, apart from stupidity. If that's the case, then probably I got saved last night. Because I feel sometimes I still have some law in my mind. I'm growing out of it myself. They say, well, anyone that has people are not saved. Paul himself got, Paul, and I explained before, Paul grew with time. So, they didn't have revelation. Look at Ephesians 3. Are you learning something? Ephesians 3. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given to me, to you, what? How that by revelation it made known unto me the mystery, as I have forewrote in a few words. Mystery. Revelation. Romans 16. Verse 25. And to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So we have mystery, revelation. Look at John 16. John 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, did Jesus preach the gospel? Did he preach all of the gospel? No. Did Jesus preach the truth? Yes. Did he preach all of the truth? No. Could you have gotten saved listening to Jesus? Yes. Could you have gotten the whole truth of God's word listening to Jesus? No. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, come on, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. All of the truth. That means there was truth, but not all of the truth. So, all of the truth will be what? Revelation. Apocalypse. Go back to Hebrews 4. Are you learning? You learning something? So, every time you hear Moses, don't let your head just be law, 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 law. That's not true. This is one of the services Moses would like me. What do you think? Yeah, I like this guy. Just joking. Hebrews 4:2. As well as unto them. That word as well is the word therapa in the Greek. It's not exactly, but it's very comparable. You see that word used in Romans 4:6 and Romans 12:4. It's a comparison, not exactly, but has very similar characteristics. Therapas, just as. But the word preached did not profit them. Every time you find that word profit, it's always talking about the hearer and not the message. Profit is the word ophelo. Ophelo is O-P-H-E-L-O-O. Ophelio, sorry. O-P-H-E-L-E-O. 15 times it's used. John 6:63. The flesh profits nothing. The spirit quickeneth. John 6:63. Now look at Hebrews 13:9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at this. Be not carried about with strange and diverse doctrines. For it is good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that have occupied therein. Profited them. Let me ask you. Was the message of Moses a message of faith? Did Moses preach a message of faith? Huh? Did Moses preach a message of faith? Did Moses give a choice of the law? Good stuff. For the word preached, which is a faith message, because you can't have preached without believing, the word preached, you don't preach the law, you give the law. You understand? Okay, so the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Not being mixed with faith. What do you mean mixed with faith? That was a quite a strong word. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:24. Mixed with faith. First Corinthians 12:24. That word is two words together. I'll just have to spell it for you. S-U-G. S-U-G. Soga. There you have. K-E-R-A-N-N-U-M-I. K-E-R-A-N-N-U-M-I. S-U-G. K-E-R-A-N-N-U-M-I. Now, look at what he says here. 1 Corinthians 12:24. It's used for the physical body. I think you put on the AC now. You're getting hot for me. Is it? You're okay? I'm feeling very hot now. Alright. For our comely parts have no need, for God has tempered the body together, tempered, having given more abundant honor to that which part was, to that, the part which lacked. Tempered is the word there. Tempered the body together. Now, he used it for the physical body. So he says, not be mixed with faith in them that heard it. That means the word God in them that heard it. Now, when the parts come together, they become what? The body. Tempered. It's when you put this, pay attention now, when you put, I'm trying to be a physiologist. When you put the ham and the hams together, then everything becomes what? The body. So, tempered the body. So what is he saying there? When the word came, And a man believes, then you have faith. When you join the parts together, then you have the body. So the word was not mixed tempered. With faith is, that's the result of believing the word. When you believe the word, it's called what? Faith. So, not being mixed with faith, it's not that faith. Faith is the result of your response to the message. So, you find old Greek people use that word, son, keranomi, to pour out a drink. To pour out a drink. So, it's not a behavior, it's a hearing. It's the way they heard. Is the way they heard it. So faith happens. Two things can happen when the word is preached. Faith happens or faith doesn't happen. When faith happens, you believe. Then faith happens. When faith doesn't happen, it's called unbelief. Watch this. So Hebrews 4:6. Are you there? Guys, are you following this? So, who preached? Who preached? What is it? Akin. And he said, they hardened their hearts in the day of provocation. They hardened their hearts to Moses' preaching. Is that clear? Is that clear? They hardened their hearts to Moses' preaching. So did Moses preach the gospel? Thank you very much. Hebrews 4, again, verse 6. Seeing therefore, it remains that some must enter therein, and to whom it was first preached. First preached. That word there is proterion. P-R-O-T-E-R-O-N. It's used for an order. Those who were preached before. They preached before. So that means the gospel was preached before. The gospel did not get preached for the first time. No, it's preached before. You see that word used? Proteron. Okay. Hebrews 7:27. Hebrews 10:32. Now, you notice that in the days of Moses, we had believers. Now, were those believers called believers because they performed the law? No. Why? Because they heard and believed the gospel. It says some entered in, some did not enter in. And so, let me ask you a question. To those who entered in, was it that they entered into Canaan? No. They entered into God's rest. Let me ask you. Those that Moses gave the law to are those who got to Canaan. I said that to you earlier. Watch this. So, they did not enter in. Why? In verse 6. Why did they not enter in? Why did they not enter in? Why did they not enter in? Was it that God stood out and said, if you come in? No. They didn't enter in. Because of what? Don't forget, verse 3 says that he that enters into the rest are seized from his own works. And what was the law demanding? Your works. So, as Moses gave the law, there were those who weren't bothered. Because they were what? Believers. And one of them was Moses himself. Praise God. Still there? Are you still there? So follow this now. So because of unbelief. The word unbelief is the word apatheia. I'll spell it for you. A-P-E-I. A-P-E-I. T-H-E-I-A. See where it's used. Romans 11:30. Apatheia. And see there's a unique way it's used. Romans 11:30. Apatheia is stronger than just not being persuaded. Romans 11:30. So, have this also now not believed. Not believed. Just one word. Not believed. Romans 11:32. And God calculated them all in unbelief, that they might have mercy, he may have mercy on them all. Ephesians 2:2 says, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. That's the word unbelief. The children of unbelief. Ephesians 5:6. Again, upon the children of disobedience, unbelief. Colossians 3:6. For with things sake, the wrath of God comes on the children of unbelief. So the wrath of God is the absence of God. So go to Hebrews 4:11. Apathy. Hebrews 4:11. Let's take it together. Everybody, let's go. Hebrews 4:11. I'll wait for you. Let's go. Huh? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The same example of unbelief. Now, apathy is not just you weren't persuaded. Apathy has to be stronger than that. It means you oppose it. To take a stand. You know, sometimes you preach, well, I'll hear you again. I'm not sure what you're saying. I'm not really sure what you're saying. And that's a guy trying to believe. But apathy is that I don't want to hear it again. It's just a lie. It's a resistance of the truth. So that means what came before the law? Faith. Faith came before the law. Moses offered a choice of the law after the gospel had been preached. Go to Matthew 19. You learning something? Are you learning something? Go to Matthew 19. Hurry. They asked Jesus a question in verse 3. He says, vices came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Matthew 19:3. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? It's so funny that even today, people quote this place for divorce. Say, there's no biblical ground for divorce except for immorality. And I'm saying, who told you that? Who told you that? Well, Matthew 19. Just what we said earlier. You know what we said earlier? Remember Luke 6:38? Can you remember Luke 6:38? That Jesus will also talk about the law and talk about the grace of God. Remember that earlier on? The same thing happened here. He said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He said, have you not read? Look at your Bible. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? That's Genesis 2 what? 24. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Sometimes it doesn't have. Praise God. Just kidding. And shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Therefore, wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Amen. Then, now when it says what God has joined together, he's not talking about two people. In the sense of two people. Let me leave that somewhere. Verse 7. Remove that from the teaching. Because I don't have time for that this morning. They said unto him, why did Moses then give command to write a writing of divorcement and to put her away? So, God's character says, He said, yeah, Moses gave a law. Why did Moses give a law? They asked a question. He says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Now, what is the hardness of the heart? Unbelief. That word, because of the hardness of your heart, you should be able to spell it by now. Huh? Prostens kalarokadian, aimon epetrepsen. You remember that? You know, we used that word several times. Was it last year, 2 years ago? Was last year? Huh? 2 years ago, last year. Okay, let's go. Pros. All right. Pros 10 skelerocardian, aimon epetrepsen. It means it did it looking at the way your heart was. Skelerocardian means to harden your heart. Cardian is heart. Because means in view of your heart. So that means what he did was that the law was a reflection of the heart of a man that doesn't believe. That's why it's called the law of sin and death. Where is sin and death? Sin was in the world before Moses gave the law. So sin reigned over men and death. So Moses simply just wrote out what was in the heart of man. So you better leave Moses alone. Praise God. Are you there? So unbelief only happens. Don't forget, you don't call somebody an unbeliever who has not heard. You can call him a sinner, which is, you know, qualified. Well, he's called an unbeliever because he has heard and has not believed. So because of the hardness of their heart, he gave the law. And that's the reason why, if you observe very well, this is very, 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 very funny. But if you observe very well, it appears that under the Old Testament, the law kept changing. Why? Because the person who gave it to a specific people. And those who had children, that he said, well, the children will not suffer what you will suffer. Okay? You get it? So the children, eventually, some other new laws were given to the children. Hallelujah. Get it? So here we are, because of the hardness of their heart. So we can call the law was a judgment of unbelief. Moses gave the law. So unbelief happens when you heard. Look at it. Moses called them a generation without faith. Look at Deuteronomy 32. You learn something here? Deuteronomy 32, verse 20. I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom there is no faith. No faith. Now, Caleb and Joshua wasn't part of those folks. They are men of faith. Faith in the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Go to John 5. So, do we have the gospel in Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers? Amen. John 5. But do we also have the law there? John 5. Still there? Are you still there? John 5. Do not think, let's take 45 to 47 together. Let's go. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Let's go, everybody. One more time. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? I can't remember funny. He says, Moses accuses you. But if you believe Moses. That means Moses had two kinds of messages. Hallelujah. Come on, guys, are you following this? Because faith does not accuse. If you believe Moses. Okay, before we go there, look at the word accuse. It's the word categorio. You know that. K-A-T-E-G-O-R-E-O. Categorio. It means to prosecute. To charge. It's used 23 times. Pay attention. This is vital. Pay very good attention. 23 times it's used. Categorio. In John 8:6, turn there, Jesus said this about those folks who brought a woman to him. John 8. Put your hands in there. Don't take your hands off there. And go to John 8. John 8 verse 6. And this they said, tempting him, that they might accuse him. That they might accuse him. And he stooped down and he asked, where are your accusers? In verse 10. Categorio. Where are your accusers? So, every time you find that word used, this is a very vital point I want to show you here. Every time you see that word, because the word is from the word agoreo. A-G-O-R-E-U-O. Kata means to say it strongly or bring it down. Kata brings, bring it down. So, agoreo, A-G-O-R-E-U-O, means to do it openly. To do it in the open place. You know where you have agorazo? Exagorazo in the open place. To do it in the open place. Watch this. So it's not about going to heaven to do it. You know, like some people have, somebody who died, rose. Someone wrote a very interesting article, I think I just read it somewhere. That, have you ever been ill before, you took drugs, you were hallucinating? Whoever. You hallucinated? Nobody have. I have. Took drugs, you were seeing stuff. You were seeing your great grandparents, and you were seeing animals. Remember one day, I just saw a lion walk into my room. Say, lion! Lion! You know, stuff like that. Have you discovered that those people who normally have strange visions were sick? But I'm not joking. So they've been given some drugs. So what's morphine? It alters the mind. Does it? Huh? Does it? Huh? Is it sedative? And I just can make you high. I know morphine. You begin to see the throne. A house in heaven. You were sick. Where were we? Now, category of means in the open place. Revelation 12 then. It says, the accuser of the brethren who accuses you before the Father. Where does he do it? He does it hogorio. He does it in the open place. Sometimes that's the pulpit. Not true? Categorio. Categorio, he says, Moses had categorio. So, in the open place. So, when you say Satan accuses, don't expect to see someone wear black like those movies. Do you think you can make it? But if I see anybody who comes there, I'll slap your face. I just saw the book of life now. Your lip has been removed. You know? No category is in man's words. Hallelujah. Is in man's words. So, he's saying, watch this. Categorio comes from man. Go back to John 5. You learning something here? Are you learning something? Do you think I will accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. That word trust is the word helpizo. E-L-P-I-Z-O. It's not the same as faith. helpizo, hoped, to expect someone, to wait for fulfillment. Helpizo, E-L-P-I-Z-O. In whom you waited for fulfillment. But watch this. For as you believe Moses, that's faith. So, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So, two things. Jesus does not accuse, right? Moses preached Jesus. He wrote about Jesus. If you see where he wrote about Jesus, you will see faith. But where he didn't write about Jesus, you will see categorical. Are you following that? So, in the writings of Moses, we have two things. We have the law and we have grace. Let me see if you understand that. Well, if you just came, you probably won't. So, I'm sorry for my premise. So, you have two things. Right? Come on. Am I making sense here? You have two things. He wrote of me. Me is not where you find him accusing you. So, Moses accused you. Moses wrote of me. Moses accused you because you believe not of me. Moses accused you, that's the law, because you did not receive the gospel. Let me see if you understand that. So, this happened to everybody. Moses preached Christ and also gave the law. Unbelief is what brings condemnation. Is it clear? Unbelief is where we get condemnation. So go to Luke 24. So, can you see something now? That means in the books of the Old Testament, we have a choice. We're going to have the law, and we're also going to have what? The grace of God. We're going to have condemnation. We're going to have faith. We're going to find righteousness through faith. And righteousness of works. What we're not going to see there will be apocalypse. Revelation. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel 24. All fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So just like we read in John 5, where do we find faith? Faith is found where Christ is written in the Old Testament. Right? Alright? Faith is found where Christ is written. So, can we say, let's read with our understanding, can we readjust verse 25? All fools are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken concerning me. Right? Come on. Because, let me ask you, did the prophets always, did they always speak concerning him?
Nope.
Did they speak concerning him?
Yes.
Did they always have a message of faith?
No.
Did they have a message of faith?
Yes.
So, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 15. From a child, thou hast known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, which is the word sophizo, skillful unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So wait. Is everything in the Old Testament salvation through faith which is in Christ? No. You only see it when you are skillful. Sophizo. It's when you are skillful that you will see salvation through faith which is in Christ. So salvation through faith in Christ is in the Old Testament. We also have the law. Amen. Hallelujah. So the folks in the Old Testament, they preached Christ and they also preached the law. In the same book. Just like Jesus. Jesus taught the law. He explained the law to them. Give and it shall be given unto you. That's the law. And you know, I'm just calling that word give shall be given unto you is not a positive statement. It is not a positive statement. You were late. Sorry for that. You were too late. It's not a positive statement. Now, come here. Come here one more time. Look at Romans 8. So, accusation comes from who? Huh? Categorio will come through man. Is that clear? Romans 8. What shall we say then to these things? To these things? These things? What was saying before? He says, what are these things for whom he did foreknow? Verse 29. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he glorified. Notice he's the one doing everything. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be, italicized, against us? Against is the word kata, K-A-T-A. It means to bring down, 80 times it's used. Who shall bring us down? Who shall change our position? Verse 32. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him, how shall he not with him also freely give us of all things? Shall he not with him freely give us of all things? Let me ask you one more time. Who shall be against us? Then in your mind, you're looking at your office, boss, or somebody who does not like your face, or you can even say the devil. But we just said that categorio is by a man. So, what's he talking about? Notice he uses the word he, not them. So, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now, that word to lay a charge, alright, is the word Hegkaleo. E-G-K-A-L-E-O. E-G-K-A-L-E-O. It means to call in a debt. To demand a debt. To answer a query. To ask for an answer of a query. I've never ever answered a query here before. Alright, you're good folks in your office. I guess so. But what about pay a debt? And they wrote you that your debt is due. Nobody again? What a nice congregation I have in here. That's wonderful. Okay, what about NEPA bill? Oh, you must have used it. Then you're asked to pay. That's the word ekaleo. You'll see it in Acts 19:38. Acts 19:40. I guess I'll just run through that. Acts 19:38. Let them implead one another. Acts 19:38. Acts 19:40. There being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. Acts 19:40. Acts 23:28. Acts 23:28. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him. Acts 23:20. Acts 23:29. Whom I perceive to be accused of questions of their law. Acts 20:29. Acts 26:2. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things wherefore I'm accused of the Jews. 26:22. So every time you see ekkalio, it's used by men. Men. When it says, who shall bring anything to the charge of God's elect? Go back to Romans 8. He's very specific. Who is he that condemneth? Verse 34. That word is katakrino. K-A-T-A-K-R-I-N-O. Remember kata? Kata means against. To bring down. So who shall examine? Krino is to examine. Who shall examine you against you? Like, write an exam. Write a test you. Bring an accusation against you. Who? He says, God will justify us. What was he referring to? Paul was referring to the law. The law that was given by who? Moses. That's what he's talking about. Because go to Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man, verse 12, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed. Logizomai. It was not reckoned to anybody's account. Wait for this. When there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So, with Moses, sin was imputed. Go to Romans 3:19. And we know that whatsoever the law saith, things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. God didn't make them guilty, the law did. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is knowledge of sin. So when he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He's referring to the law. Who? The law. Who is he that condemneth? He's talking about the law. Are you there? Are you following this? Cool. And that was what the ministry of the law brought. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8:15. For we have not received, Romans 8:15, are you there? Let's read it together. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, hallelujah, free from the law of sin and death. The word free, made me free, is the word Eleutherio. 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 Jesus used it two times in John 8:32. You shall know the truth, not a set of facts. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Verse 6:36. He that the Son shall set free, shall be free indeed. He's talking about free from what? Free from the law. You shall be free from the law of sin and death. Romans 6:18, Romans 6:22, Romans 8:21 from the body, mortal body. Romans 6:18, Romans 6:22. Then Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You see, the word Eleutherio is used consistently for the law. John 8:32, John 8:36, Romans 6:18, Romans 6:22. Romans 8:21 and Galatians 5:1. Are you there? Are you there? Go to Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Hallelujah. No, I told you. Christ did not make you free from God. God is not the slave owner. Christ made you free from sin, the law of sin and death. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So Jesus did not die for God to be satisfied. God is not the slave owner. God is the one who set free. I explained that to you a couple of days ago. Glory to God. Go to Romans 8 one more time. For what the law could not do, Romans 8:3, in that it was weak. Two things. For what the law could not do, that word there means impossible. Impossible. Adunatos. A-D-U-N-A-T-O-S. Impossible. You see it used in Matthew 19:26. Matthew 19:26, impossible. Mark 10:27. Matthew 19:26. Mark 10:27. Luke 18:27. Acts 14:8. Romans 15:1. Watch this. Romans 15:1. Hebrews 6:18. It's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18. Hebrews 10:4. It's impossible to take away sin. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Adonatos. Impossible. For what the law couldn't do, for what the law could not possibly do, being weak through the flesh. That word weak is used for sickness many times. So the law was not healthy. And it's still not healthy for anybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That word is the asthenio. I'll spell it for you. A-S-T. H-E-N-E-O is used for sickness and disease. God sending his own son. That's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the grace of God makes man free from the punishment of their own deeds. Grace is not God didn't give grace because Adam sinned. God's always been grace. God didn't say Adam and Sarah, look, Adam, you must not sin. The issue wasn't that Adam sinned. Do you know we don't know what he did till tomorrow? Did Adam slap anybody? Maybe his wife. There was nobody to slap. Did he lie to anybody? Don't know. Couldn't have that. Couldn't have been fornication or adultery with who? Couldn't have stolen anybody's things. Everything was his. So Adam's sin could only have been unbelief. Hallelujah. Thought you did before several times. That's what's called disobedience. Apatheia. Praise God. So the law is sick. Tell me the law is sick. You don't seem to be bold, either. See, the law is sick. The law itself needs help. That's why Romans 8:5-15 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage, slavery, bondage again to fear. The law can only offer bondage. Galatians 4:24, same thing. Sinai, which engendered the bondage. That's where the law was given. Galatians 4:24. Bondage. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Where do you get bondage from? You get bondage from the law. You get bondage from condemnation. You get bondage from accusation. Accusation does not mean that you didn't do it. Alright. So, you get bondage. Hebrews 2:15. The bondage of the fear of death, the devil. Is the word dolia. D-U-O-L-E-I-A. So, listen carefully. If he says we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, that means there's a spirit to that ministry. They minister a spirit. The new covenant is called the spirit of liberty, and it's also called the spirit of bondage. So there is a spirit to the law. Anyone who ministers the law ministers the spirit of bondage. The bondage of the law is spiritual in nature. That's why it's in people's consciousness. It's in how they think. It's in, sometimes they don't even dress that like the other, they may not even dress funnily. They may neatly dress looking good. Remember, I was in a conference, not a conference, a program. And then they called out people who needed deliverance from curses, generational curses, some sort of curses. People that came out looking neatly dressed. Kind of found that funny. Looking really neatly dressed. And I told them, I said, deliverance is when you leave. Casting out of devils is when the demon leaves. Praise God. If you want the demon to leave, that is casting out of devils. Deliverance is you've left and you have been delivered from the power of darkness. You have left. Hallelujah. Yeah, but they didn't believe it. Because some people believe their experiences over the word of God. So there's a spirit to it. So the spirit of bondage is in the law. Now, what is the Holy Spirit called? The spirit of liberty. For where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? And Jesus said, when the spirit of truth is come, he will convince the world of sin. He will not hold, he will not accuse the world of sin. He will convince, because the spirit of truth is a spirit of faith. It's a spirit of grace. He will convince. So the Holy Spirit convinces the sinner of Jesus Christ. He doesn't convince the sinner that he's a sinner. Check your life. That's not the spirit of God. Check it very well. Are you sure you are okay? Are you sure God? No, that's not the spirit of God. That's the spirit of bondage again to what? The spirit of truth will convince the world of Jesus, our righteousness. Hallelujah. Jesus, our justification. Jesus, our intercessor. Jesus, the gift of God to us. Can you say amen to that? So there's a spirit in the law. Look at Luke 9. You learning something? Luke's Gospel 9. Remember his folks? He told them to preach the gospel. And they were still angry at people. How can you be told to preach the gospel and you are still demonstrating? Can you imagine? I was sharing with them and they were smoking and puffing it into my eyes. Oh, punish all of you here. If you don't accept my message, I give you 24 hours. You will see the sign and you will run to church. That's not the spirit of God. The spirit of God convinces the world. Hallelujah. He convinces the world. He brings Jesus again and again. Are you still there? Luke 9. They said, can we, Lord, in verse 54, without we command fire to come down from heaven and consume? Very heavy word. Number one, fire, come down, consume. Three words that are so prominent today. Fire, come down, consume. He says, know ye not, hallelujah, what manner of spirit you are of. Let's take verse 56 together. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but glory to his name. I said glory to his name. Anywhere you find destruction of lives because of sin, that's not the spirit of God. That's not the spirit of God. Are you there? That's not the spirit of God. That's not the spirit of God. You know, often people say, there was something that happened in America in, was it Florida, I think so. Is it Florida? That someone, a Muslim, took a gun and went to a gay club, a gay bar. And he shoots up, you're over 55 people, I'm told, died. And I also know about one I think it was a quake that happened in France or so. And you'll find some creatures, God is angry. Now I'm looking at them. Seriously? I saw someone, a preacher, put up a video of two people who purportedly are getting married, and a man and a man. And then the guy said, ha, end time. Said, the last days are upon us. I'm wondering, this has been for how many years? How come the last days are just upon us now? And he said, the problem is that they are legalizing it. Well, I don't want to bore your ears because I'm a preacher of the gospel, but I can prove to you that that kind of practice has been legalized in many countries in Africa for years, in their culture. Even in this country. The country is still one. You know. Now, let's look at it. And people always have the view that God got so angry with Sodom. By the way, we're going to have law in Genesis 5 very soon. Very soon. Hallelujah. There are things to see again one more time. And they say, God just looked at Sodom and said, what's going on here? Homo! You know, when I was in the boarding house, I had people who had homosexual relationships. There was a friend that I had who were both believers. And his school father was found in homosexuality. And that fellow used to come to the school fellowship. He used to be a very good footballer and a good runner. Very brilliant guy. When he caught the guy, they expelled him. And the brethren now began to do deliverance for anyone who was close by to him. They now came to me. Because the his school son was my friend from primary school. We were in university school together. So we got to the secondary school. So they asked me, oh no, you got, is this one not your friend? I said, no, it's not my friend like that. We just, because I said, no. I said, we broke up. And I was wondering, they said, that guy is not a Christian. He's not born again. He can never be a Christian. They all called the fellowship, took him out, and I also did. I said, ready in the last days, though. I said, many shall call him of the Lord, and they are not saved. Hallelujah. Now look at the Bible. You know, people assume that was why Sodom was destroyed. Number one, to say God destroys Sodom is a shame on you if you are in this church. You should look for another church. We just found it. The Son of Man does not destroy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now there's a quiet there. Like, what's going on? Relax. Was Sodom destroyed by God? That's the first question. Then, was Sodom destroyed because of homosexuality? People always believe, that's why it's called sodomy. Sodom was not destroyed because of homosexuality. It wasn't so. Let's look at the Bible together. You know, for example, that Romans 5:13 says, before the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed. So there was nothing called the sin of homosexuality in Genesis. The only thing you will find in Genesis is unbelief. Are you following what I'm saying here? I'm not saying that homosexuality is not a sin. I couldn't say that. How would I say that? How in what way? I can't say it in any language. Alright, but pay attention because people mix up facts. So that when you want to minister to anybody who has homosexuality habits, you know what to do. Hallelujah. There are things I cannot say on the pulpit because of the infirmity of my flesh and yours. But let's go. Genesis 19. What exactly was there homosexuality in Sodom? Sure, there was. Genesis 19. Some have argued, no, it's not homosexuality. That they said unto Lot, you know, Lot had people who came to visit him, all right, two angels actually, who had very unclear identities. And then he said unto the Lord, where are the men? Verse 5. Now, I don't want to do a series on homosexuality. I'm just going to highlight something. You know, I don't do a series on things like that. Let us examine what exactly is adultery. You know, I will not go into all that teaching for you. It's not a teaching series in the Bible. Everybody knows what it is. Verse 5. Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Some people said, no. You just wanted to know them that it's the... No, no, no. Because of the word here is yada. Yada is Y-A-D-A. It's used over 900 times in the Hebrew language, in the Bible. And just about 13%, I've forgotten the number now, was used for sex. Genesis 4:1, for example. Adam knew his wife, yada. But they argue that it was just that if it's not so used for sex, how do we assume it is sex here? Well, it's not difficult. What Lot said afterwards in verse 8 shows it was sex. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray unto you, bring them unto you and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only to this man do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now, obviously, this was sexual. And Jude 7, let us know it's sexual. Jude 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, Jude 7, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, that's pornia, general sexual immorality, going after strange flesh, okay, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Going after strange flesh. That's the word heteros. It's used for something that is unlawful. Alright? Most of the time when hetero is used for people, it's used for your neighbors or an illegal person or a stranger. So, it appears like what Jude is saying here, which obviously is homosexuality, is stressing the fact that there was, as it is here, a forceful, because he calls it sexual immorality, which is the word ex porneo, that is, to have sex outside, right? Ex porneo, E-X-P-O-R-N-E-U-O, to have it. So it's used for neighbors. Whenever you see heteros used for flesh, used for neighbors or illegal sex. So what's he saying here? He's saying that there was a strange sex. In other words, they went after sex with strangers. Are you getting this? Are you following this? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, he lends credence to the fact that they went with sex. He doesn't define what manner of sexual immorality is. Rather, he defines who they had it with or who they wanted to have it with. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying here. Is this clear? Okay. Now, Ezekiel, interestingly, under the law, he said something differently. So, that means a stranger came to them, and rather than being hospitable to the strangers, they wanted to what? Have forced sex with the strangers. He doesn't talk about homosexuality. Come on, are you there? Someone follow what I'm saying here? He's not stressing that. He's saying they went after strangers, sex with strangers. He doesn't even talk about the fact that it was a Jude 7. Look at it one more time. Jude is not emphasizing whether it was male or male. Jude seems to talk about a culture in that territory. Okay. Now, go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 16. I believe we're ripe for another law in Genesis. Very quickly. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. It appears like what Ezekiel was talking about here was hospitality. They didn't receive people well. Ezekiel stressed hospitality. Now, quickly, and we're coming to this one next week, but I just want to give you a hint. Second Peter 2. I'm going to read verse 6 to 8. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that shall have to live ungodly, and deliver just law, vexed with the filthy compassion of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwell among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deed. You discover the role of Lot in Sodom. We'll see that. There was a role he played. So, just mark that. We'll come to that next week. But look at how Jesus talked about Sodom. Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Is homosexuality a specialized sin in the Bible? Yes and no. Yes, because of what it is. No, because it's just another sin. Matthew 10. Look at what Jesus said about it. Verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that city or house, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than that city. It's obvious that they rejected deliverance. So, the emphasis here, and just like 2 Peter, we're going to see that, is they rejected salvation. They rejected deliverance. Jesus said it should be worse for that city than Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because they have not accepted you. In other words, that means that God's servants were not received in Sodom. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, the destruction of Sodom was the absence of God's power. It wasn't an irritation as to what they did. Now, a key issue here, my God, Genesis 18, I've got to run. Genesis 18, somebody was informed. Somebody was informed. His name was Abraham. I want us to follow the discussion. Genesis 18, verse 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? That thing which I do. What will I do? Verse 18. seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great man, nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, what does it mean being blessed in Abraham? What does it mean? Huh? Forgiveness of what? So, I'm going to tell Abraham, seeing that the nation shall receive what? Forgiveness of? Come on! Don't lose this one. Shall receive what? Shall receive what? Blessing Abraham, blessed by Abraham, means to be declared righteous by faith. Because Abraham himself was an ungodly man, whose faith was counted for righteousness. Genesis 12:3. Acts 3:25-26. What is the righteousness of the blessing of Abraham? That he will turn them from sin. Forgiveness of sins. Galatians 3:8. God, having preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So, through Abraham, the gospel will reach the nations. Don't forget that. So, look at verse 20. And the Lord said, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. The cry before me, cry. Cry? What cry? That word cry is distress. Distress. It's the word sequah. T-S-E-A-Q-A-H. T-S-E-A-Q-A-H. Distress. Verse 20 says, their sin. That word sin is error. Chata. C-H-A-T-T-A-H. 294 times. Let me ask you, what was the sin where the sins in Genesis or sin? Huh? Come on, guys. Was it sins or sin? Because sins will be when sin was imputed. So, come on, are you following what I'm saying here? So, what could have been happening in Sodom? They rejected the word. Pay attention here. So he says, their sin is very grievous. Watch this. There's a cry that's come before me. I'll go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. What do you mean by that? That means someone was accusing the city. Hallelujah. Someone was accusing. Pay attention here. So he says the cry. That word there says sequoia. Let me just show you a text that has a similar word. Genesis 27, verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto me, bless me, O Father, O my Father. It's a cry for help. So what was Sodom needing? Help. Sequoia. Help. Sodom needed help. So I'll go down now. And then Abraham stood before the Lord. He drew nigh. And Abraham began to speak. Watch this. He stood. My question is this. To do what? And I don't have time here yet. Because I said we have a season. What was he staying for? To do what? Hey, come on. To do what? To pray. Then he begins to talk about whether there is a 23, verse 23, whether there are 50 men or 100 men, will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Let me ask you, who is the righteous in Genesis? The man who has believed God. Will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? The man who has believed God. Because Abraham himself knew that he was righteous by what? By what? By what? He's righteous by faith. So, Abraham's righteous cannot be those who have very moral standing. Abraham's righteous will be those who are justified by what? By faith. So, he stayed behind, and I think he appeared like he sent angels to do it. Abraham ought to go where? He ought to go to Sodom. He ought to go to Sodom. Now, I have a question I want to ask him. We're going to examine this. You know, we know that the men of the Old Testament, they acted under the law of sin and death. And they were ignorant. Did angels also act under the law of sin and death? I know I've answered this question somewhat before, but we actually need to answer it one more time. You know, Peter said that the angels desire to look into the gospel. 1 Peter 1:12. Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:10, made known to the intent, made known to the principalities and power, the manifold wisdom of God. So, look at Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 says, are they not all ministering spirit sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Verse 7 and 14. So, were angels cooperating with the law of sin and death? Were they cooperating with death? Could they have? So, were they? Were angels involved in destruction? We'll find out. Amen. Are you there? So, we have one more person. Luke 17. So, why was Sodom destroyed? Homosexuality or unbelief? Homosexuality or unbelief? Homosexuality or unbelief? Are you clear? Good. Look at Luke 17. Verse 28. Likewise, see how Jesus explains it. As it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Jesus does not mention homosexuality. He doesn't. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, why were they destroyed? Because the same day Lot left. He said, even those who shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he said, the one who is on the housetop, Luke 17 verse 31 now, and he's stuffing the house, let him not come down to take it. He that is in the field, let him not likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. That's a sermon I preached years ago. Remember Lot's wife. Look at what they did. Just like the days of Noah. Then likewise what? He compared Noah's days. In Noah's days, he says, in the days of Noah, verse 26, it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Those who were destroyed in Noah's days were those who did not believe. Same thing as Sodom and Gomorrah. The absence and rejection of what was given them was what brought judgment. That's why Ezekiel's comments are different. Jude's comments were also different. Sin is judged after faith is rejected. Sin is judged after faith is rejected. Jesus, pay attention here now. Jesus never singled out anybody's sins as very special. What Jesus singled out was unbelief. If Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, it's the same way like the days of Noah. It's unbelief. It's not because of homosexuality. Homosexuality is a sin. But it is not a sin in a special red book. Come on, I'm here. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's surely a sin. It's called sexual immorality. Hallelujah. It's a sin. Alright? Jesus doesn't single out sin. In John 8, they brought to him a woman who was caught in adultery. He did not condemn her. I did not approve her. Like, oh, go ahead. This is a very fine. You have a very fine lifestyle. I think it's cool. Just make sure it doesn't hurt other people. He didn't say that. He said, go and sin no more. John 8. He saw a woman who was a prostitute, a harlot, and he allowed her near him. And he says, your sins are forgiven you. He didn't say any other thing but that. So he never singled out sin. There's two instances of sexual immorality. He had another woman who had a man living with her. And the woman, he said, if you ask me, I will give you water that you never thirst again. If you ask me. If you ask me, you mean she can ask? Yes, she could. Hallelujah. And she did and she believed. John 4. Are you following what I'm saying here? So he never singled out any sin. Homosexuality, sure. Say, look at 2 Peter 2. I'm going to run now. 2 Peter 2. Are you learning something here? So don't get scared if somebody tells you, I am an homosexual. Or I would say, hey! Oh, start speaking to the tongue under your breath. It appears, watch this, for the righteous man dwelling, 2 Peter 2:8, among them in sin and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That word hearing is akohe, A-K-O-E. It's used for preaching. So Lot was seeing and what? Preaching. Lot was preaching in Sodom. Somebody follow what I'm saying here? So what, that's why it's when Lot left that there was what? Destruction. If Lot had stayed, nothing would have happened. You get? Alright. Let me leave that for now. Well, thank you. Thank you. Right. Time is fast spent. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Homosexuality, sure sin. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. But it's not a sin placed specially somewhere like 2 Corinthians 14, 1. You know, or 1 Corinthians 18, verse 6, something like that. Like, okay, John, the book of John chapter 24, verse 4. That, look, this one, and yes, this book, this is about homosexuality. No. No. So don't get freaked out. I've seen Christians come to me and say, well, I have an homosexual habit. When I was younger, sincerely, I was speaking tongues under my breath. I remember my secondary school. All the demons that are around me right now, Father, fire them. But as I grew, I've helped several gays out of the habit. Several. What did I teach them? 17 principles to defeat this. No. It's just what I teach anybody. Same thing with somebody who lies. You know, they walk in the same spirit. Very good. Come on, 1 Corinthians 6. I'll go on now. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You know, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. Now I use the word effeminate. Abusers of mankind. Alright? Then he mentions the word homosexual. Then you find Romans 1, 18 to 32. You go read that later. Romans 1, 18 to 32. Also states that clearly. Romans 1, 18 to 32. Let's leave that one anyway. Don't let me be in a hurry. Romans 1. Verse 27. And likewise also men living the natural use of the woman. Alright? Born in their lust one towards another. Men with men, walking that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Notice that was not the only sin listed. Several other things were listed here. Several other sins and Paul was basically preaching from the law. Several other things were listed. Man with man, he says. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. 1 Timothy 1 10. Whoremongers then that defile themselves with mankind, to defile with mankind, okay, is the word, I'll spell it for you, Xenocoitus, I'll spell it, A-R-S-E-N-O-K-O-I-T-E-S, A-I, S-E-N-O-K-O-I-T-S. It means man with man. Man with man. That's what it means. Man is from two words. Aren. A-R-R-E-N. Man with man. You find the same word in Romans 1:27. Man with man having a sexual relationship. 1 Timothy 1:10. He calls them abusers of themselves with mankind. So it's a sin. Right? It's a sin. However, it's a sin that is washed. The fellow, all right, what does he require? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Such were some of you, but you are washed. Hallelujah. See that? So the response is you are what? Washed. No, that's the same way you were washed. Same way you are justified. Same thing, Romans 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of God's salvation. For everyone that believes. Romans 1:16 and 17. Romans 3. How we're justified. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about everybody. So the homosexual man, the lying man, and the one that doesn't do any of those things, they all require faith in Christ to be justified. Are you there? Are you following what I'm saying? Look at this. So, man with man, alright, it's a sin, but it's not a sin in a special book in the Bible. It's a sin. Is that clear? So you can't say, well, I am an homosexual. You are mad. Like saying, I'm a robber. You get it? So look at me, I'm a fornicator. I am a fornicator. No. You are insane. But can a Christian have an homosexual habit? Yep. Let me say it again. Yeah. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't read. Amen. You get quiet. I understand that. Okay. So, I gotta run. Hi. Where did I get here? I want to skip something and go to something else. But I think we're done with homosexuals. Huh? Are we done with that? So, how can somebody imagine that God destroys homosexuals? No, he doesn't. God destroys nobody. God saves homosexuals. Just like he saves the fearful. And those who lie. Those who backbite. No, backbiting is a sin. Strife is a sin. You know, anger is a sin. So I know naturally I have anger issues. I'm just working on it. You are not different from the person who says, I have homosexual habits. Let me say it again one more time. You are not different. Hallelujah. You somebody that doesn't even believe that he's a new creature, does not believe that his sins are forgiven. And he's now saying, how in the world can you say what you just said? That homosexuality is just a sin. I understand your plight. Believe the gospel first. Hallelujah. It's a sin. Praise God. So. Let me rush. I'm going somewhere here. I want to skip. Okay, quickly. Look at John 6. I'm going to run. John 6. With everything I did today, I still use this time. You know, I made sure there was no praise worship. I see where I am. Who shall deliver me from this, my God? I think I talk too much. Eh? And I'm still going to keep talking. John 6:32, are you there? Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Hallelujah. I told you last week, only Jesus Christ has come from heaven. John 1:18. Fire came from the earth. Bread came from the earth. Wind came from the earth. The rains came from the earth. Floods came from the earth. The unnatural use of fire is judgment. The unexpected use of fire or the wind is a result of the law of sin and death. He wasn't God playing with anything. Or else, when there was a wind in Jesus' day, he said, "Ah, Adonai, I worship you, Son of God, you are awesome." He said, "Peace be still." Hallelujah. He should have said, "Ah, Abi Yosi, Abba." I hate that word. Hallelujah. He says, "Come, let us reason together." I think, let's leave that. So you see, where did we get fire? Fire came from the earth. What has come from heaven is Jesus Christ. Why was it possible for Moses to do all those things? The Bible says they were all baptized into Moses. He was the one that split the sea. He was the one that closed it again. Hallelujah. It was Moses. What has come from heaven is the Lord from heaven. Hallelujah. God, who spared not his son. That's what God has done. Not fire, not wind. Moses had so much that when those folks did not believe, he made angels walk with him. And then they put laws and say, "Come on, look at God following this one." He did that. He had so enormous powers. And the Bible says there was glory in his countenance. A peace. And it was the Lord. Hallelujah. So, don't ever accord God for sending fire. It's not God's work. It's not God's move. Unbelief is it? Unbelief is the absence of faith. That's why we have the law of sin and death. Quickly go to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Hallelujah. We'll have to do something in 10 minutes. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Hope you are learning something. Are you learning something? Thank you. 3:17. Before we get to 17. After 14. Their minds are blinded, for unto this day, 7 Corinthians 3, remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, it shall turn to the Lord. When shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, what do you have? Freedom. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord doesn't destroy. The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of what? Liberty. Freedom. Freedom. So where you have destruction is the absence of the Spirit of God. Go to Ezekiel. You know, we started out this way, and I'm just going to close that way. We said that it's obvious that the Old Testament folks, they offered faith in Christ and they offered the law. You remember how, that's how we started? Okay. And so you would think it's a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. Hear this. Faith is offered to all. The law or judgment is to those who don't believe. See that? That's what happened. That's what Moses did. So look at Ezekiel, for example. You see contradictions. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Verse 3. You know, you think he's a G. He says in verse 2, "What mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes?" This was to destroy generational curse. "And the children's teeth are set on the edge. As I live, saith the Lord." Is he talking? No. "You shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel." If he had stopped there, we'll have clapped for him. He says, "Behold, all souls are mine. So is the soul of the Father. Soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, he shall die." Tell me, what has he said that is different? It's plus 5, minus 5. "The soul that sinneth shall die. If a man be just
and that which is lawful and right. And eats not upon the mountain, neither does lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither that devours his neighbor's wife, neither has he come near to a menstruous woman. He went on and on. So, look at this. He says, this will not be used anymore in Israel. Then he comes to the soul that sins shall die. And he repeated that statement over and over and over again. But look at verse 23. Read verse 23, you'll just be tired. Have I pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Are you getting this? Shall he not return from his ways and live? Watch this. Look at verse 21. This is where he started. Let's start from 20. The soul that sinned shall die. The soul that shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Son shall bear the iniquity of the father, sorry. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Righteous of the father shall be, the righteous of the righteous shall be upon him. And the wicked of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from his sins that he had committed and keep all my statutes, hey, and do that which is lawful, he shall live. He shall not die. You know, he has not said anything. All his transgressions that he has committed, it shall not be mentioned unto him. He's preaching forgiveness. And again, he's preaching works that he has done. My pleasure that the wicked should die. Can you imagine? Then in 24. And when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to the temptation of the wicked, the dose, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. That's finished. That's what people do in films. If you tell a lie on the rapture day, in his trespass that he has trespassed, in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. The way of the Lord is not equal. You say, hear now, Abuzo. Is not thy way equal? That's harassing them. Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turns away from righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in them, for his iniquity that he has done shall he die. And when the wicked turns away from his wickedness that he has committed, that is the last day he just gets released because he's saved. This one has been in church for 30 years. He has kept it his head on. Last baby. It's finished. Now, wow. You know, you can build a sermon from this. But what righteousness is he talking about? Paul says, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they go about establishing their own righteousness, which is of the law. But the righteousness of faith speaks on this wise. Hallelujah. What saith it? The word is nigh thee. In your mouth, in your heart, there is the word of faith that we preach. If you believe with your heart the Lord Jesus, confess my word, sorry, and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. So, what was Ezekiel talking about? The righteousness of the law. So, he didn't free them. No, he hasn't freed anybody. Look at Isaiah 26 to you. So, there's trouble. 28. Because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions that he has committed, he shall live and he shall not die. But look at chapter 36. In the same book. Hallelujah. Are you there? Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God. 36 verse 22. I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen whither you went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, that you did you are profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I have the Lord. The Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the people, gather you out of all countries, and I'll bring you to your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean. You know, this is very different. Hallelujah. From all your crudeness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. Glory to God. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stone out of your flesh and I will give you another flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. You shall go in the land I gave to your father, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will save you, hallelujah, from all your uncleanness. And I will call you for corn for the corn. I will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and in peace of the field. And you shall receive no reward report of famine among the heathen. Then you shall remember your evil ways. So the change will come after the salvation. Are you following this? So you see the law and you see Christ preached in the same book. That's why Ezekiel's last chapter was on waters. The waters, chapter 47. That when it is flow, everything that is dead shall live. Hallelujah. Two times. In Psalm 37, he said, can these dry bones live again? The guy was smart, only you know. Hallelujah. And the breath of God came into that spiritually dead body, that spiritually dead being, and it began to live. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Till I'll give you my spirit and you will be alive. Glory to God. Then you begin to change your ways. So forget whether the guy is this or is that, he's homosexual. Give him the gospel of Christ. He will receive a new heart, a new spirit. Then begin to walk. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Stop preaching the law. Preach Christ Jesus. He has not come to destroy anybody. He has come to give the spirit to all men. Hallelujah. Says, it's when I've cleansed you, then you will remember your evilness. Then you will stop. Hallelujah. So change of behavior comes after salvation. Change of behavior comes after you're already a son of God. Glory to his name. Be blessed this morning. Lift your hands to your heaven and worship Jesus. Thank you.